I hear the sound of your voice. All at once it's a gentle and thundering noise. Oh God, all that you are is so overwhelming.
It's a benefit to our church when pastor is able to go and participate in those things. And we will look forward to seeing the results of that in the fellowship of the church. I want you to know that I'm aware that the annual meeting is coming up right after the service and the cookies and the coffee, and I understand there's a lot of desserts left over from yesterday still. So I'll try to keep it under 45 minutes or so. Seriously, I'll try to be brief so that none of you will feel pressed to leave and go home because it's just getting too late. So without further ado, Father, I just pray that you would take your word and that you would amplify it. Multiply it in our lives. I pray that you would give me the gift of speaking it out as you have laid it upon my heart. And then I pray that you would go beyond that and you would touch each of our ears and give us the gift of hearing. We might hear what you want to say to us today individually. In your name, amen. The other morning, Linda and I had shared our morning devotions, and we were still sitting there, and I was reading, and she was looking at something, and the next thing you know, she started to smile out loud. Yeah, you guys know what that means, you know, smile out loud. To which I immediately paid attention. It was a good move, huh, Ed? You know, immediately you pay attention. So she read me what she'd been reading. And what she had just read said, the most important decision we make is to be in a good mood. We talked about that a little bit, and we thought that wasn't a bad decision, but it's not the most important one. Most important decision we make is the degree to which we allow the Holy Spirit to work in our lives in such a way that he will bring us under the complete lordship of Jesus Christ. Complete lordship of Jesus Christ. And so with that in my mind, I want to ask you a couple of questions. Do you ever feel incomplete in your walk with the Lord? It's just, you know, just between you and yourself now. Do you ever feel like you've just barely begun to grow into maturity, even though we've been at this for quite a while? And you keep saying, man, I ought to be farther along on my walk with the Lord than this. I really want more. Do you ever feel like your promises to do better and to serve him more faithfully, your spiritual improvement plans are coming up a little short? And do you ever find yourself saying, I tried and I failed, and it's even worse than if I hadn't tried at all? Do you ever find yourself wishing for a brand new source of confident assurance for each day, no matter what the day contains, that you would have a confident assurance that takes you through that day and whatever's in it? If you're like me, you've read the Word of God over and over, and we see what Jesus Christ was able to do with that handful of disciples in just 3 years. Plus years. And we say, boy, if they were able to make that kind of headway, why couldn't I make that kind of headway in 3+ years? We want our lives to reflect what we read. And so I'm going to let the Word do most of the talking this morning, which is as it should be, you know. But what does the Word tell us about how we can improve and how we can maintain that kind of a walk with God and grow in it? Well, in 1 John 2:20, it says that the Holy One has given us of His Spirit. Holy One has given us of His Spirit. And in John 14, 26, it says, and when the Father sends the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, when the Father sends Him, the Advocate, He will teach us everything. And He will bring to our remind, to our minds, to our remembrance, everything that He taught us. Wow. Teach us everything. I guess that means that we have to be teachable. It's important to be teachable so He can teach us everything. Hebrews 13 says that, may the God of peace make you complete in every good work, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. And Philippians 1:6 says, and He who began the good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day when Christ comes back. The Word promises us all of these things. And so it's His desire that we would be victorious in our walk with God. I hope that blesses you the way it blesses me, because it sure does bless me. And I'd be willing for you to just amen here and there, just to let me know that you're still functioning well, and you're still with. Amen. Yes, yeah. You see, He wants us to be consistent. He really does. He wants that for us. He wants us to be constantly growing in greater Christ-likeness, regularly, just continuous process. And so 2 Peter 1:3 says that God has given us everything we need by His power for living a godly life. Think about that. Given us everything we need for living a godly life. Can't ask for much more than that, can you? I mean, what more could we ask for than everything? He's given us everything we need for living a godly life. And then Ephesians just kind of carries that on, and he says, and now all glory to God, who is able through His mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we ever ask or think. I love that verse. I love that verse. And what is He able to accomplish within us? Well, I know that it says infinitely more than we ever ask or think, but there's a little verse in Jude verse 24, it says, by His power, He is able to keep us from stumbling and falling. He's able to do that. He's able to make it possible that we would be continuously, constantly growing in our walk with Him and not falling back and forth. So what does all of this mean? And how does it impact our desire to walk with Him? Well, maybe most important is the realization that God wants us to succeed more than we do. He really does. He wants us to succeed more than we do. He wants us to be complete in every way. He desires that we would be free to become all that He has created us to be. And I'll just kind of throw this in for free. God is not at all glorified by roller coaster Christians. God is not glorified when we're up this day and down this day and up this day and down this day. He's not glorified by that. He's not glorified when we run around chasing every new spiritual goosebump that comes along. This is the beginning and the end. It's all here. It's all there. And what does He ask in response to all that He desires and that He offers us and that He gives us, the everythings? He asks for honesty and obedience. Honesty. Honesty. I think one of the greatest illustrations of honesty in the Scripture, particularly for those of us who are believers, one of the greatest illustrations of honesty was the story of the man who brought his son, who was demon-possessed, to the disciples. And he says, can you guys heal him? And they tried, and it didn't work. And then Jesus came down from the mountain, and And he said, I brought my son to your disciples, and I asked them to heal him, but they couldn't do it. Can you? And Jesus' response was, can I? Do you believe that I can? Now, here's the honesty part. The man's response was, I believe, but help my unbelief. Most of us believe. We believe to a greater or lesser degree. I've often said, and I've believed for a long time, that most of us believe that God can. We're just not sure that he will. God can do anything he wants. He says so. But when we pray for something, we're not always sure that he's going to answer that prayer, because we know he can, but we're not sure he will. Honesty. And that young man, that man said, I believe, but help that part of me that doesn't believe. You see, honesty before God is just is acknowledging before him that all of our abilities and all of our skills and all of our study and all of our training, that with all of that, we can't be the followers that he's called us to be on our own. Can't do it. We can't do it. We don't have the right stuff. It's only by total submission of our will to his will and allowing his Holy Spirit free access to our lives. And that brings us to the obedience. Obedience. It's already been mentioned. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek first, above all else, the rule of God in our lives. Seek him first. Jeremiah says, and when you seek me with all your heart, completely, I'll be found by you. I will be found by you. Psalm 37 says, commit your way. Well, what does that mean? Your way. That means your choices, your decisions, your actions, your reactions, your hopes, your dreams, your desires, your priorities. Commit your way. Commit all of these things to the Lord, and he will, what does it say? Direct your path. Direct your life. He will literally direct our living if we will allow him to. That's what he wants to do. And John 14, verse 21 says, and those who accept my commands and obey them, they are the ones who love me. And because they love and obey me, my Father will love them. Isn't that neat? My Father, Jesus said, my Father will love them, and I will love them. Now get this. And the last thing he says, and I will reveal myself to them. You want to see God? You want to see Jesus? Obey. He'll show himself to us. In everything that he does. Now, if that doesn't get your spiritual juices flowing, you ought to just check your pulse, you know. Because if he's going to reveal himself to us, and if he is going to give us everything we need by the power that is his. Can you imagine the same power that allowed the entire nation of Israel to walk across the Red Sea with their feet dry? That same power is available to us. I heard a pastor talk once about a young man who was really a committed follower of Jesus Christ, and he was in a theology class, and the theology professor was very new age, and all of these were just stories, and they were all illustrated just to make a point. And he and this young man, they had continuous arguments in class, and so one day he is teaching and he happens to bring up this story. He said, and then there's the story of the Israelite children walking across the Red Sea dry shod. He said, well, at certain times of the year, there's parts of the sea that are really, really shallow, and it's only about 6 inches deep. And the young man started laughing. And the professor went on a little bit, and the young man's just sitting back there just laughing. And finally, the professor stopped. He says, okay, if it's such a joke, share it with all of us. And he said, well, I was just kind of wondering, you said that it's only 6 inches deep, and that's why they were able to walk across. He said, that must have been a really strange Egyptian army when the entire Egyptian army was drowned in 6 inches of water. It was a miracle that God performed by his own power. It's the same power that allowed the three Hebrew children to walk around in a fiery furnace, joined by God, without ever being burned or singed. It's the same power that changed a man who was desirous of wiping out this whole new group of followers of that man from Nazareth called Jesus Christ. And so he set about to do that, and he met Jesus Christ on the road to to Galilee. And when he met him, changed his life, and he became the first great missionary, and he wrote much of our New Testament. Same power that raised Lazarus from the dead. Same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead. I could go on. You know all of the stories. You know all the miracles. Simple truth is that same power is available to you and to me to live daily, consistent, growing lives for God. Amen. Amen. It's a very simple truth. And the question is, are we willing to acknowledge our need? We can't do it on our own. Are we willing to recognize that his power that's available and believe that it's his desire and his willingness to share it with us more than we want it? Will we choose to want it? No. Let me reword that. Will we choose to want him? Because the power is only a byproduct. We want him. We choose to want him more than anything else, more than everything else in our life. Because when we want him more than everything else, he will give us everything we need. I want you to join me as I pray. Stand if you would. With our heads bowed and with our eyes closed, I'm going to ask the pastor just to step up here where he can turn around and he can keep his eyes open. I'm just going to ask that if, as I have opened the Word of God this morning, if you have sensed an area in which you really want that consistent, growing walk in your life, when you want everything that he has for you, would you just slip your hand up so Pastor can see that, so that we can be praying together for you? Thank goodness. Thank God. Because if we do that, folks, there's nothing that's going to be able to stop this church from being a lighthouse for him. He's going to be able to use us in a powerful way. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Father, I thank you this morning for your word. I thank you for the challenge that you lay before us. I thank you for the possibilities that you set before us. I thank you for the fact that we have a pastor who will open your word and will lead us and teach us and guide us. And I pray, Lord, that in the days and in the weeks ahead, as we find ourselves giving less of ourselves and taking more of you, we will find that consistency growing, and there will be less of a roller coaster, and we won't be chasing after new things. We'll just be chasing after you. Father, we ask these things in your name this morning. Amen. Amen.